Death on Two Legs, the opening track from the 1975 fourth album by Queen. It is A Night at the Opera. We're covering it in its entirety, open to close, with commentary. Appreciate you being here. My name is Ricky Aaron. If just tuning in, it is Vinyl Selection. And this album, I mentioned being in their fourth album. They were coming off the third album, Sheer Heart Attack, of the year before in 74, which had seen a lot of success. You know, Killer Queen, the opening track on that, did very well. This album would turn them into a household name, but it was at a trying time for the band, and that opening track right there that you just heard was written based on that. Queen was in a contract with a record production company who would allow them to make an album, but then that company would sell it to a record company, leaving Queen not to see really any of the money. John Deacon probably felt that the most. He had just gotten married and was unable to get money for a deposit on a house, which led them to seek help elsewhere, which they ultimately did. We'll talk more about that, but keep it going, Lazing on a Sunday afternoon. I go out to work on Monday morning. Queen and their 1975 A Night at the Opera album, which we're covering in its entirety right now, Vinyl Selection. My name is Ricky Aaron. And I mentioned that Queen was really in a raw deal with Trident Studios at the time. They weren't seeing a lot of the money made from their first three albums, specifically Sheer Heart Attack the year before that. That led them to look elsewhere for management, and that search began with Peter Grant. Peter Grant, if you don't know, was the manager of Led Zeppelin at the time, and what he wanted for the band was for them to sign with Swansong, which was the Led Zeppelin label, and also encourage them to get back on the road and tour while he sorted out the finances and the legalities of everything. And that seems great, but at the time, they thought, you know, Led Zeppelin, he's probably going to prioritize them over us. We don't want that. They decided to look elsewhere. And that search began continued with John Reed, who was Elton John's manager at the time. His piece of advice was a little bit different. He said, get back in the studio, make the best album that you can possibly make. So they went with him, and that's what they did. Keep it going. I'm in love with my car. 106.9 The Eagle. It is Vinyl Selection, spinning the entire A Night at the Opera album from 1975. The fourth album by Queen. And I think those two songs you just heard, starting with I'm in Love with My Car and then You're My Best Friend, are what make this album or this group very unique in the fact that you can draw a lot of comparisons to nobody else but the Beatles, in a sense, in the perspective that everyone was utilized for their strong songwriting abilities. I'm in Love with My Car, written by Roger Taylor, and then You're My Best Friend, written by none other than John Deacon, which he wrote about his wife, and that song became a top 10 hit. Very powerful when you have everyone in the band being able to contribute that strongly, in my opinion. Keeping it going with a Brian May vocal on the album, and 39. Sweet Lady, it is Queen's A Night at the Opera album, 1975, the fourth studio album, which we're covering in its entirety right now, Vinyl Selection. Now, this album was recorded over the course of a four-month stretch, August to November of 1975, right up until its release. I mean, the band was remixing this album literally up until its release, November 21st of 1975. This was the most expensive album ever recorded at the time. Point blank, bar none, the most expensive album ever made. And you look at the recording process, it's easy to see why. They recorded it over, I think, eight different recording studios, eight different locations. Contrast to the Sheer Heart Attack album the year before, which was only four recording locations. 3 weeks, they wrote and rehearsed the album before hitting the studio. And you look at all the complex vocals. They had a 24-track tape that they mixed all that with. The overdubs, the mass overdubs, all of it. One perfect storm to just a very expensive record, but hey, it paid off when you look at the reception, critically and among the charts. Keep it going, Seaside Rendezvous. Kicking off side two of A Night at the Opera, it's The Prophet's Song by Queen, and we are spinning that entire album right now, Vinyl Selection. My name is Ricky Aaron. The next song, probably my favorite song, one of my favorite songs on the album. It's definitely the most romantic probably of Queen's entire catalog. You got Freddie Mercury doing the piano, including the classical solo. You got Brian May with the harp, which is just amazing. This was a concert favorite for Freddie Mercury, and it's one he would stop and allow the audience to sing the vocals partially the way through. Here's Love of My Life. ¶¶ Love of My Life, Queen. I love that, man. That's Brian May on the harp. And I mentioned that was a concert favorite for Freddie Mercury, playing that very often, specifically on the tour that accompanied this album. And Not at the Opera tour, that kicked off about a couple of weeks, I would say about a week and a half prior to the album's release. Tour kicked off November 14th, 1975. That would go on throughout the spring of 76. They covered United States, the UK, Japan, Australia. But that tour was interesting and unique for another reason. It debuted a song that would be played at literally every Queen concert from that point on. If you don't know what I'm talking about, which you probably do by this point, I got it coming up next, just after this. It's Good Company. Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody, a song that would go on to take the world by storm, topping the charts worldwide, a groundbreaking 9 weeks in the UK. Though it did garner some mixed reviews critically, it has gone on to become one of the greatest songs ever made. It's tough to really pinpoint what kind of song that is. You can't narrow it down to any genre, but that was the case for this entire album. They were constantly changing pace with every song, which makes this album one of the greatest albums ever made. Queen's legacy was cemented by this point. They were a household name, but the album wasn't over. I love how this album ends, and it's ultimately how they would end every concert, or virtually every concert from that point. It ends with a Brian May cover version of the British national anthem, God Save the Queen. I love the mix of the piano and the several layers of guitars that really makes this version of the anthem really unique. He said that he actually performed this on the roof of the Buckingham Palace as a tribute to Jimi Hendrix's version of the Star-Spangled Banner. I love that. Wrapping up Vinyl Selection this week and A Night at the Opera, it is Queen and God Save the Queen right here on 106.9 The Eagle. Thanks for being here.